Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Wednesday, the 17th day of April 2024. Glad you are here. Glad I'm here. Do I sound husky? This is the dumbest thing. And I know I got a lot of company. Well, the reason I know we have a lot of company is we went to one of the Doc in a Box for Lisa. She is down and hard with, does everybody have this weird upper respiratory thing? And of course, you know, we all remember 4 years ago, if you had a sniffly nose, you're like, take a COVID test. So we've been taking 14 COVID tests, and that's not it. And you remember last week, almost all of last week, I just sounded snotty, you know, and I still probably am carrying a little bit of that. So thanks for hanging with me here. I have felt great for a week. I felt literally Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday last week, not feeling great. But it's not exactly like we have a plan B around here. And so I'm in this room kind of by myself, and through it, I'm not getting up in anybody's face or anything like that. And it's not like the streets are teeming with substitute hosts that we can, because God bless, you know, Paul Gleiser and Tom Giovanetti and Chad Hastie. They're all like having to come from their respective homes, and Chad's doing the show from Lubbock when he fills in, stuff like that. Not exactly the kind of thing you can figure out at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I guess why in the world am I even bringing this up? I guess if I sound husky. Husky's a great word. Isn't that what they used to call clothes for the fat kids? I'm over at JCPenney in the husky section. Anyway, feeling great still. But here's the weird thing. This current, so we literally were at, I mean, it was like steroid shot time. We were actually going to try to get out of town this weekend. That's not happening. It just got to retool and reset. So we're in the Dock in a Box. And what a fascinating industry that is. And nowadays, I don't know if COVID did this, but it may be one of the COVID silver linings. Oftentimes when you go to one of the 24-hour clinics, the Doc in a Box, there are like 37 people in there, and they're all, you know, hacking up a lung. It's like, oh, this is great. At the one that we visited, you check in online, and then you show up in the parking lot. You hit the QR code with your phone, fill in a checkout thing, and you just wait in the comfort of your car, and then they call you, and then you come in, and there's no one there. You, like, have the entire place to yourself. Now, it's not the fastest thing in the world, but it was pleasant, and I took her, and we just sort of, you know, sat there and talked to each other and listened to tunes until the phone rang and it was time to go on in, and got her the steroid shot and the Z-Pack and the this and the that. So she is on track about like 7 days behind me, which means, yes, I clearly gave it to her. What can you do? So if you've got this going on, first of all, the real virulent weird part where you just feel like you got a bad cold, that was like 4 or 5 days for me. And we're at a week post that. And again, I feel fantastic. But I'm husky. I don't dare know. The Hal J laugh will put me over. Can't, that would not be wise. But just get ready. Because it's everywhere. And then I think some of it is exacerbated by allergies, because I am allergic to something in the air. I think they call it oxygen. So every April and every October is like, brr. So we got all that going. So anyway, I hope you're feeling good. Hope that I feel great. Even though I'm husky, but I'm feeling fantastic. And I hope that you are too. You know who's feeling good? Know who's feeling his political oats? That would be Donald J. Trump. So yesterday was day two of jury selection, and good luck finding that this jury is going to be under quite the magnifying glass as they have a process supposedly designed to find people who can evaluate his the evidence against him objectively on the island of Manhattan.
All right.
But after the second straight day where he got to go into the courthouse and rail against the proceedings, come out of the courthouse and rail against the proceedings, which is fantastic because everybody's forced to cover it. Be, you know, the Trump-hating leftist media, be careful what you wish for, because all you guys are doing is putting a bank of cameras out in front of a courthouse, and he walks out and talks about this Trump-hating judge and this crooked system and how the entire thing is being engineered from the White House, which it is, and but just the entire rigged, ridiculous, weaponized lawfare. That's the word. It, you know what? I think every year there's like a word of the year. Who does that? Merriam-Webster, the dictionary people? I don't know. This year, the word of the year should be lawfare, which, of course, is warfare conducted through our system of laws, or it's supposed to be a system of laws. So he gets to do that going into and going out of the courtroom. But then did you catch how Trump spent his day once it, I think they wrapped up about 4 o'clock New York time? Did you catch where he went after that? Went to a bodega, a little, also known as a little store, up in Harlem, and went to the actual store where the proprietor fought off an attacker and the proprietor got sent to Rikers Island. And he went there. And so he is surrounded by a bunch of young people. I don't think a single one of them's white. And they're all, you know, chanting, "We love Trump, we love Trump." And also there, a gaggle. I think that's the collective noun for cops, a gaggle of cops, a pride, a gathering, a swarm, a group of the proud men and women of the NYPD. And they all, you know, shaking his hand. "Can I take a picture?" This is how he wins. This is how he wins. Biden was in Scranton, Pennsylvania. It's like his go-to. It's like the only place where he like recognizes the surroundings. If you send him to any other American city, he might think he's in Istanbul. He's just like, oh. And he just rolled out so many hoaxes and so many lies. And this is all they've got. And as far as the party is concerned, all they've got is abortion and January 6th. And we have 47 genders. And one of my favorite pieces of audio, I think one of the really cool things these days is the list of people who are not conservative, like at all, not Republicans at all. And they recognize they're calling Biden on his crap. And one of the more noteworthy these days is the always compelling Stephen A. Smith. So I've got a little burst of him. But hey, first, how about a burst of this? Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, and we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Our buddy Mike Gallagher joins us, 7:35. Also on the list of stuff I want to get to today, we have a... tis the season for graduations, coming up on graduation season. And that means we have various valedictory addresses. And there's one young lady who is the valedictorian at USC, Southern Cal, and she was set to deliver her commencement address, and she got yanked. They're not going to let her. Now, here's the deal. Here's a picture of her. Asna Tabassum. And she has the whole, not burqa, that's the full body thing, the hijab, the head scarf. So you kind of get a little Palestinian flavor telegraphed in your direction, which is fine, you know, but here's the thing. Because one of the other things we'll visit with is Tom, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, amid all of the protests, it's your usual suspect cities, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Golden Gate Bridge clogged because the idiot pro-Hamas protesters shutting down traffic. Can't get to Chicago's O'Hare Airport because idiot pro-Hamas protesters blocking traffic. There are a couple of locations in New York, idiot pro-Hamas protesters blocking traffic. And so Tom Cotton the other day said, if you try this in Arkansas, you're going to have some very wet protesters. Basically saying, throw them off the bridge. Okay. And, of course, these folks are fond of gluing themselves to stuff. So that's going to get kind of messy. We're going to have some like bloody hands on these protesters. So Laura Ingraham had him on last night, said you've been kind of criticized for this take matters into your own hands suggestion. Do you stand by that? Now, there is one thing, and boy, this was a new one, I have to tell you. Some of these folks, I forget which city, had cemented their arms into massive drums filled with concrete. Gotta tell you, points for imagination. And you grab a hold of a rod with your tightly clenched fist, but your arm is cemented around in the drum. I don't even know. You got to be a nuclear physicist to figure this out. If they applied all this talent and ingenuity to actually, you know, reading a paper or having constructive lives or approaching things with some degree of fairness and objectivity, maybe it'd be a better world. But hey, what fun would that be when you can stick your arm into a concrete drum, which makes it real hard to remove you? What you basically got to do is get somebody's arm out of the drum. So there's video of these cops, and they're not going together. They're not going to chop people's arms off at the wrist, at least not yet. And so it was really, really, it was hard to get these folks off the bridge or out of the road or wherever in the world they were. And of course, as we discussed yesterday, these are the stupidest protesters in the history of protesting. Because what should a protest be about? It should be about expressing your distaste for some status quo, making a point that you wish to make loudly, vociferously, whatever. That's so far so good. And it should be within the law. That's always good too. Legal protest. But ultimately, the goal of any protest should be to have those witnessing the protest look at you, look at what you're doing, and say, wow, those people are passionate. Maybe I should listen to what they're saying. Wow, these people are really on fire for their issue. And, you know, maybe I should evaluate or weigh what they have to say. No one is going to do that when you are gluing yourself to the Mona Lisa. No one is going to do that when you are blocking a bridge so you can't get your kid to the hospital. No one is going to do that. These people, these quote-unquote protesters, they are making people hate them. And they clearly don't care. That's because it's not really protest. It is a tantrum. It is a ridiculous, juvenile expression of childish rage. So I guess Asna Tabassum suffers from guilt by association, because here she was on CNN. We'll get to this like 8 o'clock hour. She was the valedictorian, and the school canceled her USC canceled her graduation speech. Now here's the deal, citing for safety reasons, they said there were threats. Okay, well, from whom? From whom? I mean, this could have cut either way. I mean, if they had somebody in there, whoever said a nice word about Israel, maybe the threats would have come from the pro-Hamas lunatics. As it is, we have somebody who's clearly, is she going to be filling her valedictory address with references to Genocide Joe and the evils of Israel and from the river to the sea? I don't think so. But here's the interesting thing. You know who has come to her defense saying she should the school should not have canceled her address? And I gladly count myself among this group. That is America's prominent conservatives. Online, with radio and TV shows, with columns to write, they've all said, let the woman speak. Absolutely. And you know, let the chips fall where they may. So anyway, you got that. All right, let's do this. Let's take our pause, come back, and look at one chunk of journalism from Trump's day in court yesterday. Again, no day in court today. He can hop on Trump Force One and go campaign wherever he wishes. But some of his best campaigning is taking place in the actual courthouse. And maybe one of the best campaign moments came just a few miles from the courthouse as he was cheered by young people in Harlem. This is how he wins. 7:23. You know what the dirty little secret is? These were pretty good songs. Now the question may arise, Mark, what are you doing? I mean, really, Spice Girls? Hey, it's birthday related. Because this is kind of a generational thing. Posh, right? Victoria Adams, now Victoria. She's been married to David Beckham, soccer star, for half her life, 25 years. Victoria Beckham, Posh Spice, is 50. So we cover it all on the big birthday. Spice Girl records were pretty good. What were the other ones? Was it Scary, Sporty, Baby, and Ginger? God, I know that, but I can't find my car keys. Great. It's the Mark Davis Show. Alrighty, let's see. Nate Foy, Fox. Last night, wrapping up Trump's day in court.
Today in court, Judge Juan Merchan admonished former President Donald Trump for muttering and gesturing toward a prospective juror as his lawyers questioned her credibility. Judge Merchan told Trump he wouldn't tolerate his behavior and will not have any jurors intimidated in his courtroom.
We have a Trump-hating judge. We have a judge who shouldn't be on this case. He's totally conflicted.
Today, Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg filed a motion requesting the court hold Trump in criminal contempt on allegations the former president violated a gag order. Bragg requests a $3,000 fine and possible jail time for Trump after three social media posts where Trump disparaged witnesses Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. Judge Merchan will rule on potential sanctions related to a possible gag order violation next Tuesday.
And let's pause because we got to get into news on time, get into Mike Gallagher on time. This whole gag order stuff is completely unconstitutional. I've been looking into sort of the history of gag orders, and that's some compelling reading. It often pertains to both sides. A judge takes a look at a lot of, you know, sniping back and forth and says, look, all of y'all shut up. I even think that's unconstitutional. But at least one that says to both sides, you can't talk. At least that's even-handed, and there is nothing. I mean, there is nothing in this complete lawfare dog and pony show that is fair and just and right. It's insane, and it's going to backfire, and I look forward to seeing it backfire. Know what else I look forward to? A chat with my talk show buddy Mike Gallagher. It's next. Nikki Whaley is in the newsroom. Mark Davis, 7:31. I hope this guy invested well. Hey, Michael Cimbello has one more huge hit in the radio than I ever had. Maniac, 1983, Flashdance. Dude is 70 today, and this wasn't written for the movie. He had cranked this out on some album of his, and the makers
What's
of the movie.
His name?
Michael Cimbello, famous song. One hit wonder. He is 70. All right, Flashdance, 1983. Could you find 23-year-old Mike Gallagher in the theater for that?
Was that Jennifer Grey?
Jennifer Beals.
Yes. Clearly I missed it. Obviously.
No. It was the most.
Jennifer Grey is Dirty Dancing. Right.
And now unrecognizable thanks to the work. But Jennifer Beals was actually in something recently, and is a pretty still darn fine actress. But in Flashdance, wow, which was a ridiculous movie, she's an 18-year-old steel welder who fancies herself a ballerina. It's ridiculous escapism. Uh-huh. It was a great day. Lisa was 16 when this thing came out, and still, wow, I think may still have the leg warmers and the whole outfit there. So
speaking of Lisa, boy, I'm sorry she's down for the count, and that you've been sick.
Yep,
you know, and it's so weird. I'm driving and listening to you explain your husky voice, yes, and how you went to the Doc in the Box and everything.
Yep.
Two things about, and the Doc in the Box story is fascinating because that's total. That's a total COVID thing. Sitting in the car and wait. I mean,
yes,
there's a lot of COVID-inspired policies that are going to be sticking around that aren't such a bad idea.
Yeah.
Now, and again, just prayers for her complete recovery quickly, and you too, and you're a trooper for coming into work. I want to talk about one of these.
Last week I was a trooper for coming into work. Now I'm just fine, but I've still got this ranging, lingering thing. I got to run home and take care of her the minute this show is over.
Yeah, of course you do.
Not having a good time.
And I can relate. I've been really kind of out of it since I got back from Japan, and I've attributed it to the jet lag, but I'm starting to think it's too long. I got back Friday night. Mm-hmm. What is this, Wednesday? And I'm still stuffed up and kind of out of it.
You go halfway around the world, and I still love the text you sent me. The most challenging and tough thing about international travel is traveling internationally. You've got to cram yourself into a tube for 20 hours on and off, and that'll mess you up. And we're not 33 years old anymore, speaking
of. That's what it is. I think, you know, I'm 64 now, and I guess when I was 34, I could probably handle it better. Because a 13-hour time difference is profound. I really think it's the biggest time difference I've ever experienced in my life. I've been to London. It's not that. I think it's 7 or 8 hours. And Israel, I think, is 5 or 6. 13's a lot. I mean, you're talking, you know, 7 in the morning is 8 at night over there. And it's so you're sleeping. And I'm still stuffed up. I'm spraying the stupid Vicks sinus stuff. And I don't feel 100%. But maybe it's also, I've always been prone to allergies. Maybe my immune system got
Here's the thing is, that's what I thought it was. Because, yeah, the entire months of April and October, I've just got all kinds of things just draining out of me. But when I had and I love this term, the productive cough. That's when, you know, there's just something else going on. But it gives, also again, I'm never sick. Never. So it's all just a total new experiment for me whenever I am. So last week, and now I'm pumping these things into my bride, big fan of Theraflu. That stuff's just tasty. It's just kind of citrusy, and it's hot. And you drink it out of a mug. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So we did enjoy that. And
Other thing, of course, we do our Balance of Nature every day, and we take good care of ourselves. The other thing is Emergency. The powdered stuff.
Yeah, Emergent-C or something like that.
C.
You pop it into a bottle of water. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're shocking your body with tons of vitamin C. And usually when something comes on, if I pop some of that, it usually works. But anyway, back to the Doc in the Box thing.
Yes.
So there's a pretty good idea. I don't like being in a waiting room with 97 sick
people. No, it was great. We sat in the parking lot for like 20 minutes, but I'm just sitting there with her listening to the radio, talking about life, and then they call you to come on in, and then you go on in after, you know, do the little QR code, and there you are. So, yeah.
I'll take it. And that's inspired by COVID. Here's another thing I learned about my company this week. Mm-hmm. And this is apparently the same with a lot of big corporate America, organizations. Mm-hmm. Because of COVID, now people are working from home like never before, and many of them are never going to go back to the office.
Yep.
Never. So when you have a national company where you could go anywhere in America, there is a lot of people who are transferring from, say, New York to Florida, a few years ago.
I know where you're going. Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm going with this?
Companies
are saying, because of the cost of living difference, we're going to dock your pay by the percentage of what the cost of living difference is. I was told yesterday that somebody in our company who elected to move from New York to Florida took a 30% pay cut. Now, Mark, I don't even know how. I love my company, and I'm not taking my company on. I mean, we're like every other broadcast industry company right now. We're all looking for as much revenue as possible. I'm kind of shocked they can do that, but evidently that is a normal thing in corporate America. Have you heard this before?
I totally have, and I want to know, does it work in reverse? Because here I am in Texas. I will never move. I was born here. I will die here. But if I move to Northern California, do I get a 40% raise?
Guarantee that doesn't work in reverse. But you're right. That's a guarantee you that's a one-way street. I guarantee you that it's only to the benefit of the company. And so it's just an interesting thing. And it has to do, again, with COVID-inspired working from home.
Yep.
People, and the company is saying, hey, look, it's a wash. And it's not, by the way, the full cost of living that you get docked. They meet you halfway. It's like 50% of it or whatever. But they're saying, hey, it costs X number of dollars to live in New York. It costs X numbers of dollars. You know, you've got no state income tax here in Florida. We got plenty of taxes in New York. So, you're going to have to share in this with the company a little bit. I'm going to say this with love with my company. I mean, I'm not saying this. I'm sorry. I find that outrageous. I find that outrageous. And just from the standpoint of what you just said, if it's the other way around, they're not going to give you a raise.
You think it's designed to stop people from moving? You think it's designed to keep you where you are? Because, because listen, just in our building, you and I have worked in a lot of radio stations, and they have historically hummed with the vibrancy of on-air talent, salespeople, the engineering folks, the promotions crew, and I'm not going to say that our entire wonderful, you know, comfortable building that I've loved now for 12 years is a ghost town, but it's a ghost town. I mean, there are like seven people I see every day anymore, and I'm crazy.
I'm so torn about this, Mark, on the one, because I'm a hypocrite when I condemn remote work, because everybody on my team basically works from home. Now, it's not quite like it was. I've got Eric and Christian in a New York studio. Mm-hmm. I've got Tracy in a studio here with me in Tampa. Mm-hmm. I've got Michael screening from his home in upstate New York. But I know that if Eric needed he could run everything from his living room in New Jersey.
Why do curtain pulled back question.
Sure.
You for a while during COVID, you did the show from Casa Gallagher up there in the tower. So why do you now venture across the bridge to be in the radio station in Tampa?
Because I've got a two-bedroom condo. I don't really have room for a studio. And now with Salem News Channel, we got 97 monitors. This place looks like the NASA Space Launch headquarters. I got monitors and lights and everything else. If it was back in the day when we had a little box that I could plug in, trust me, I'd be home in my bathrobe every single day of the week. Anyway, I one more travel note before we get into Trump's spectacular visit to Harlem.
Yeah, buddy.
And you cannot understate the powerfulness of that moment yesterday. And I want to get to that in 30 seconds, but let me share with you a story. Travel, and I'm on an airplane a lot. I'll be flying again to South Carolina this day after tomorrow. Got big, exciting news about South Carolina,
I can't share yet. Well, it's funny. Well, okay, well, then you were teasing the audience, because when I popped in the car, you said a lot of these are seasons of bad news, and a lot of states are yielding bad news, but out of a state that I know well, the Palmetto State of South Carolina, wonderful things are happening, and I thought I missed it,
I haven't been able to say yet, because the deal isn't done yet, but I will say this. I met and married my Denise there. We raised our kids in the upstate of South Carolina. That's like home for me. It really is.
Greatest of Greenville, Spartanburg.
Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson, Pickens County, and my company made the noble decision to sell the station that I had been forced to be on, frankly, because I was on the big powerhouse talk station for many years. Mm-hmm. That was where I started my career. Well, then go back years ago, Salem bought a station from Bob Jones University, a big powerhouse, 94.5 FM, WGTK, and we started the Salem lineup there, and you were heard there every time you were on with me. It was and we were doing great. That station was kicking butt. Well, Salem decided to sell the station to a Christian broadcaster, so I wind up getting, yanked off the other station years ago, put on this one, and then they sell it. So now I don't have a home in the upstate of South Carolina, but I am proud to share. I'm saying too much as it is, but I will just say this. This story is going to have a happy ending Gallagher. I'm going to be home again, I think, and I'm excited about that. Oh, yeah, that's just my luck. Selling Greenville.
About Trump, before we even get to Trump, are there any other ways you'd like to endear yourself to corporate before we move on?
This is my last day, officially. My name has already been removed from the mailbox.
Is there anything about the insurance plans you'd like to weigh in on?
Funny, my door code doesn't work. I wonder what happened. Why can't I get in the building today?
Swipe it.
Well, let's just hope they're not listening to the M&M Experience. All right, let's go to Harlem yesterday. I mean, honestly, Mark, think about the image of a Republican presidential candidate billionaire Republican on trial with this bogus kangaroo communist court, with this monstrous judge who's just on a ego trip, and they're having a field day, gag orders and all this nonsense. And Trump decides to go to Harlem. Yep. Of all places, Harlem. Like you said, not a white face in sight. He goes to the bodega where that guy was attacked by a thug, and he fended off the attack. Alvin Bragg, this corrupt Soros-installed prosecutor, sent that guy out, the bodega owner, to Rikers Island, to jail.
For defending himself
until there was such a public outcry, because it was all captured on video, that they let him go, thank God. Anyway, that's where Trump went, to that bodega. Here's the beauty of his appearance yesterday. Unlike Grandpa Joe's appearance in Scranton, which was all planned in advance and scripted and teleprompters and a set. And incidentally, about 50 people showed up.
Yeah.
Nobody went to Scranton to see Joe Biden.
No.
But in Harlem, huge crowd, all filled with love and admiration. Kids screaming, "We love Trump. We love Trump." Trump posing with the NYPD. Mark, it was one of the most I posted last night on X. I never could have seen this coming. This could have been the biggest moment of the year. But heck, it's only April.
It's only April. I saw that. Such a genius. Yep.
We got more coming. But this is what we're. You talked about the gag order. That pathetic, vicious Letitia James took to social media every single day, trashing Trump, attacking him, taunting him, trolling him. Alvin Bragg campaigned on getting Trump. And you're right. The gag order only applies to Trump.
Yep.
Listen, if you can't disparage Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen, nobody can be disparaged, because they're two of the lowest of the low. They're two of the creepiest cretins in the face of the earth. Those two clowns, and they're, of course, the whole crux of the case against Trump. He can't say anything about the confirmed perjurer, Michael Cohen, or the woman who swore for years that she never had an affair with Trump, Stormy. If he can't criticize them, I guess he can't criticize anybody. But this is what we've got right now, Mark. And I'm telling you, I feel this more than ever. It's why he's going to win.
It's backfiring.
Yep. He's going to win, Mark. He's going to win on November 5th. Harlem, they're cheering for him in the street. Harlem? I wonder what kind of response Biden would get in Harlem.
Oh, he'd be met by 5,000 Palestinian protesters calling him Genocide Joe.
Tell me about it. They're furious with him. I mean, it's a wild place right now.
Yep.
You're right. And Biden's speech in Scranton was so pathetic. Oh, all he's got is raging against Trump, supposedly claiming that our war heroes were losers. That was a
zero evidence that happened. Exactly right.
You're right.
Some of our war dead. He wouldn't go to a veteran cemetery because our guys were, suckers and losers.
Suckers and losers.
There are 500 things you could tell me Trump said. Many of them that would make me go, and I'd say, well, okay, that does sort of sound like him. That one absolutely does not. There is no universe in which he would
They took that story and ran with it, but Biden's repeating it as of yesterday, which shows you how desperate they are.
All they got.
Now they're saying polls are shifting a little bit. I don't believe Biden is starting to gain momentum with Hispanics. Why?
Wow.
Wait, would the borders any better?
Thank you.
What in the world would cause his State of the Union speech? Are you kidding me?
Oh, boy.
I mean it. I'm feeling good, Mark.
I'm feeling really, really good.
I like our chances too. Right, feel better. Give my love to Lisa.
I'm great, and I'm going to get her better as well. And Mike is there to make everybody feel better as soon as we're done, 10 o'clock, right here on 660 AM The Answer.
He picks a few holes in a tree to see if a redwood's really red.
Okay, what's this?
And it's nothing to him on the tiniest whim to pick a few holes in your head.
Ouch. What is it?
That's the Woody Woodpecker's tune.
It's the Woody Woodpecker song. 1948. Woody had been a big deal in short films through the World War II era, starting in about 1940. Woody didn't get a TV show till about 1957, early voiced by Mel Blanc. But Kay Kaiser and his orchestra and Woody Woodpecker.
That's the Woody Woodpecker.
One of the big records of 1948. Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer. Stick around. Much more to come.